Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi azawajalla. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Assalamu alaikum, that is peace be unto you. Welcome once more to the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of The Female Solution, hosted by yours truly, Kareem Hamid, and our beloved co-host, Naima Latif. We are grateful for everyone's presence this Wednesday morning, and we are looking forward to a very invigorating broadcast and show. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I'm awaiting my co-host, Sister Naima Latif. In the interim, I want to share with you an important public service announcement. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God Allah. I would like to ask us to be generous in our du'as and supplications for the citizens of Maui that had a tragic fire that devastated the whole town. We send our prayers out for all that lost their lives and their property, and we pray that inshallah they can rebuild and move forward with their lives. It was a horrendous fire. I mean, the fire enveloped the whole town, and there was some loss of life. The last report I heard that they had recovered 98 deceased individuals, but we do expect that number, inshallah, to increase as they go through the wreckage of that devastating fire that was held, that occurred in Maui. So inshallah, we pray Allah's peace be upon them. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, have said, any that dies in a natural disaster, they go straightway immediately to a heaven, a paradise, the Jannah. So we send our prayers and our du'as for the inhabitants of Maui. Also, Imam Yahya Abdullah shared with us Friday at his Jummah that a prize fighter, Floyd Mayweather, have transported 70 of families from Maui to the mainland, and he is supplying housing, clothing, and other staples that they might need. 70 families. So we are grateful to him for his generosity. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, may Allah continue to bless Floyd and all of those that are lending a helping hand in this tragedy that occurred on the island of Maui in Hawaii. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So I'm awaiting my beloved sister to come on the air, come on the studio board, and I'll open up her mic and we'll get the show on the road, as they say. I want to share with you another important public service announcement as we await on our beloved sister, Naima Latif. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard hitting.
Don't have any peace. And our people have been tricked that if you got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change, it has changed. Wrong man. I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people, and it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
Stop the music.
Form alliances. Be conscious. Lead. Make effort. Be persistent in making an effort, the right effort. Don't let up. Keep the drive, but also form alliances. To be successful, this conference, by its very presence and the makeup of this conference, the persons who are here, their personal experiences, knowledge, resources. What we have in the conference itself invites us to make alliances. When we come together, I think if we just make it formality to assemble and have the general concerns addressed and then identify persons who are supporting more political awareness in the community and more involvement on the part of our community, business, invitation to Islam, Dawah, identify these separate groups and then have these separate groups meet to address the general concerns. And a community needs to hear from males and females, not just males. And the person who addressed the general, or the person or person addressed the general concern, and then someone who is knowledgeable of the makeup of this conference, the persons and the skills, someone should know all of us and what we have to offer. If we don't have this.
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. I believe my co-host is with us, Sister Naima Latif.
Are now connected with our co-host, Shereen Hamid, and we're so excited to be connected this morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and I'm Naima Latif. Again, to our listening and viewing audience watching us on Facebook and YouTube Live, we have an opportunity to have a fabulous conversation. And we certainly do appreciate those of you who did decide to stick and stay. It's been a challenging week with us. We've had some challenges with our Blog Talk studio, but of course, now that we're back, and we certainly appreciate all of those who are listening in. And now that we have our visual and our audio connection, we can have a conversation. And so I want to say to my co-host and our American Muslim 360 family, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Naima. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful to once again join hands on the Female Solution. Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, it's quite a quite a task sometimes, you know, but we are grateful to be a voice that can help shape thought so that we can bring some new thought and some higher consciousness to our listening and viewing audience each day. Well, you know, there have been many conversations directed toward the younger generation regarding the issue of respect. Respect for elders, respect for those who are in authority over them, teachers, even police officers, of course, parents, number one, but there have been a lot of complaints because children are using foul language. We're hearing it even reflected in our music industry, extremes of vulgarity that would never have existed decades ago, and people are wondering what happened. What happened to the respect level? What happened to the decency level? And everybody's blaming somebody, but nobody's pointing a finger back at themselves and saying, what did I model for my children in my home? What did I allow to come into my home as an example to them of what is appropriate behavior? And many of us were not monitoring what our children saw. We were not monitoring the kinds of things we were watching in our homes while our young children were present. We were not discussing with them and demonstrating for them what is the appropriate way to speak to another human being in all circumstances. And so now we're seeing the extremes, and we don't know how to correct it. And you hear people talking about slapping somebody in the mouth and all these other kinds of things to make them know that they cannot curse you. But the question we have to ask today is, did you curse them? So we want to examine that with an honesty so that we can be the behavior that we're modeling for our children, so that we won't be upset when they bring it back to us once they become an adult and they say those words that we feel are disrespectful. So that's our conversation today. We've asked the question, how are you talking to your children? So let me start out with this question, Brother Kareem. Do you remember whether your parents or if your parents ever cursed at you when you were a child? And do you remember how it made you feel, if they did?
I must answer honestly. No, not as a child. Matter of fact, curse words were not used in our home when I was a young child. My father would substitute certain phrases to emphasize a point. I remember him saying, what in the chicken salad sandwich are you doing? You know. that sounds kind of harsh, but he's only asking, what in the chicken salad sandwich are you doing? You know, but no, as a small child, I can say that my parents never cursed at us as children. That was very very positive, because that left an impression on us that bad language was just that. It was bad language. They impressed that by them not using bad language in front of us. That is the model that they set for us. And also, we were a spiritual family when I was a little boy. The impression was made on us that that there was a higher power over us, and that we should pray. I remember my father would bless, as they say, bless our table. This was standard practice at that time. He would lead us in prayer. We had to fold our hands and lower our heads. And he would so-called bless the food and express our gratefulness for what Allah had blessed us with. That had a very positive impression on us. Not only was it impressed, him and my mother, they modeled that. They took us to a church on Sunday morning, and also we would say our prayers before going to bed. I know that this sounds kind of strange to people that weren't in that era, but it was standard practice to say your prayers first, then go to bed. So when I saw this big, strong man, I mean, my father was very athletic. He was very buff. He had muscles and everything. He looked very powerful to me.
Mm.
And to see that which I looked upon as power, to see him get on his knees on the side of his bed and fold his hands and lower his head and say a prayer before going to bed, that there was two functions that occurred. It was impressionable. We were impressed with that. That left a print on us. And him also actually doing that. He was modeling for us a decent and a recognition of there's a right and a wrong, and that even he, as powerful as he was, felt that he had to answer to the Creator. That has stayed with me. Now, I'm not saying that I was a choir boy as I got older. You know, I'm not. But that impression never left me. That modeling never left me. You know, when I would... And a matter of fact, in my high school years, some of my friends, their parents would make, you know, on Sunday morning, you knew not to go by so-and-so's house because they are getting ready for church.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're leaving for church. So I believe that is what is missing as we move forward with our lives. But I believe we have neglected the obligation of prayer and a recognition of that there is a right and a wrong. I believe as a society, too many, not everyone, but too many have left that type of impression, that type of modeling for us. And as a consequence, we are seeing that no accountability, no respect for even elders, decency, all of that has left us, along with the media aiding that effort to take the human being away from his acknowledgement of a spiritual life, of our souls, you know. I believe that is what is missing. We have neglected that, the importance of putting that impression on our children and ourselves, you know, and ourselves. So we are unfortunately are victims of that type of neglect. My daughter said to me, you know, she said, now she is grown. I mean, I know she's not a little girl. She is in her 50s now. That the aversion to religion, she was saying that there is a movement where there's an aversion to even use the word religion, that those that choose to look in that direction, they use the word, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. And I shared with her, downplay or speak negatively of religion. She has witnessed so much hypocrisy from people that claim a religion's behavior. And I expressed to her, don't blame the religion. Don't blame religion. It is those that refuse to follow the best of the religion that they have. Don't shy away from religion. Whatever religion means to realign yourself, to align yourself.
To realign.
She agreed with me, and she said that that's another way of looking at it, and she respects that opinion, you know. Because we have to get back to, religion means to realign yourself and have a discipline for your life, you know. Anytime someone does something in a repetitive way, we say, yes, he gets up and he walks every morning religiously. That religiously means that he does this on a routine basis, that he is dedicated to taking that walk every morning. And he derives a benefit from doing something religiously as long as it is right and proper. So that's where society has failed at, in keeping God in our language, in our public discourse. I'm not saying that public schools should teach religion, but at one time there was a period when before class, when people would pray or even have a moment of silence as a recognition of a higher power in our lives. We can realign ourselves once more. We can begin to utilize those practices, those religious practices, and live them, model them, because our children are looking at us, and we are the first example for them. We are the first example for them, you know. So as a small boy, I was aware of what they call bad boys. You know, don't hang out with those bad boys. But when I look back, even those bad boys, there was a smidgen of right and wrong. You know, some of those bad boys wouldn't curse in front of elderly people, Mr. Woods, Mama Dolly. They were somewhat like elders in the neighborhood that I grew up with. Even guys standing on a corner drinking wine or whatever, if Mama or Dolly walked by, they would straighten up and hide that bottle. Tip their hat to her. Yeah, speak to her, you know. And she would ask, are you boys being good? Yes, ma'am, Mama Dolly. Yeah, blah, 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 you know. And so that lack of respect for a higher authority is what has led us to where we are now. It's almost like anarchy. It's almost like anarchy. groups of people just doing whatever they want in private and public, rob someone right in the open daylight, bomb rush a store, a whole group, just run in there and just take everything. There's no respect for law and order, And there's much I can say on that end, but I'll refrain from that because this isn't a bash police. You know, there are some good police because when I was growing up also, there were law enforcement officers that sponsored baseball games, that sponsored sports events. Yes. Business is sponsored.
That's a whole different kind of relationship when the officer is also a sponsor or even a coach of a team. There's a different kind of relationship, and I saw that growing up. You had officers that were fathers of my friends. So section of police was definitely not one of fear because well, my friends' fathers were police officers. And there was the highest respect and the belief, the feeling that they were there to protect you. Now, there was that era where, you know, here in Chicago, we know we've had some famous murders happen of members of the Black Panther Party. And as a child, I remember being influenced by that whole era of conflict during the civil rights struggle, and that did change a lot of things inside of me in terms of my perception of who we could trust. That makes an impact. But those are just, that's just one of the things that kind of shattered the community that you're describing, where there are levels of respect. There is a respect for the strong fathers. There's a respect for the mother, that you didn't curse or drink around the mothers of the community because you wanted to maintain their respect. So all of those respect issues have dissipated. So what we're here to do today is figure out what happened, how did it get dismantled, and how can we rebuild it without rebuilding the things that may be possible for tearing it down. We have to look back and examine the mistakes we made so that we can create the kind of society that we want to have. Right now, like you said, it's in chaos and total disorder and a complete lack of consciousness about what is decent and appropriate. It just isn't there. But something happens, and we have to take responsibility for it, because the only way you empower yourself is to take responsibility. As long as you point the finger at somebody else, you remain powerless, because you can't control somebody else. You can only control yourself. So if you can figure out what yourself can do, then yourself can fix the problem. So that's what we want to do today. We're going to take a quick break and come right back, because I want to examine some of the points that you raised and some of the elements that were present in your upbringing, and how those elements shape you, and how the absence of those elements are shaping today's young people. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak so that we can open your mic, or 515-605-9891. And again, press 1 so our host, Kareem Hamid, can open your mic and get your thoughts on the AM 360 line. And we've got a caller. We're going to come to you right after the break, area code 815-666. We're coming to you after this short break, so we want you to stay with us.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
And now, an important message from the conveners of Imams, associated with the community of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as a broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses that helped us to see and understand an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement in which we say no more. You must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community, inviting experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? This has been a public service message from CWSC and EM360. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want to hear from you. We've asked the question, how are you talking to your child? Well, there are many of us who grew up in families where verbal abuse was common. And parents, when they get angry, they speak in tones that are harsh because many of them were raised in that manner. And not everybody had the presence of a spiritual belief in their home. And even those who did, there are some parents who, with the same mouth that they pray to before their meal, would curse you out and call you the worst names and see no contradiction in it at all. So we have to examine what it is we're seeing today in our children. And who are they reflecting? Because they are mere reflections. What is the image that they've been given that they're reflecting back to us that we say it's so ugly and unacceptable? Let's go to our phone line and get your thoughts. Area code 815-666, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Scoopy James, calling from the Midwest.
Yes, Scoopy James. So let me ask you this question, Koopy. You know, Brother Green gave us a beautiful image of family life and the stability of the strong father who prayed before the meals and led the family in prayer and set the example of praying even before you go to bed and all of that, so that you had as a child the understanding that there is a higher power that we're all responsible to and that we must reverence and respect. So that was the aura of the household in which he grew up. And of course that was the plus side. He shared with us some of the not so plus sides. We'll get into that later because there are two sides to all things. And the best parts of our families we certainly want to imitate. But there are some things that many of them did that damaged us. So let me ask you this. Do you remember your parents ever cursing at you, saying words to you that they say you better not say back to them? Do you have a memory of any of that at all?
Well, I was a good kid, unfortunately.
Why is it unfortunate? Aren't you supposed to be good?
They didn't have to holler at me. Mm-hmm. You know, I did my chores. I did what I was supposed to do. I watered the garden. And I didn't raise no sand. So they pretty much let me do what I wanted to do. But that's my experience. And even today, I'm the same type of person where, you know, if somebody's hollering at me, I don't respond because I wasn't raised like that. And our household, you know, wanted to keep that peace because we knew what was going on in the world. We knew that there was outside forces, just like today, that we have these outside forces who are coming to our country that are attacking black people. We're being attacked like never before. And this is why I'm connecting with the youth, being spiritual and love, because we're under major attack of people want to get rid of us. And nobody wants to talk about that. That's the elephant in the room, that our sisters are marrying people from other countries that they know nothing about. Our men are marrying people from other countries that they know nothing about because they're trying to cancel black people out of America. Okay, that's my conversation, you know. Today, I know everybody, we want to talk about our past lives and our traumas. You know, my child life was good, but I'm looking ahead. My child life has nothing to do what I'm gonna do today or tomorrow. I determine my destiny by what I do right now and tomorrow. I had a good childhood. I understand my difficulties. I understand the traps that people try to set me in because I'm not gang related. I'm not a part of this. I'm not a part of the ways. And so I get attacked every day and I laugh at it. They see a peaceful man and they try to disturb that. And you can't because I see it coming. So my parents didn't have to scream at me. You know, I was just born a peaceful person. So, you know, I get along with people. You know, I'm sorry. I know you want something juicy.
You said some things that I want to address.
They didn't have to do that. They didn't have. See, some of us people. We don't go through what other people go through. You know what I'm saying? Every household is not the same. Now, yeah, you might have my parents were with me one time.
Yeah, you told that you were going to actually run away after that happened, but then you
come back. I'm saying all of us didn't have traumatic upbringings. You know, we've had situations going on. Everybody, you know, the world ain't. You know, it's how you view the world. People tell me, man, I'll be safe today. I say, why? Man, the predator's out there. I said, why can't I be a predator? Well, maybe I'm a predator. And maybe I'm a good predator. Maybe I'm the one that's attacking evil before it attacks me. That's me. I attack evil. Because I know evil is coward. I know evil has they're cowards. I'm the predator. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, there are many people who saying they are attacking evil, but then evil is also a perception, and wrong is a perception. But I want to thank you for your comments. I want to address some of the things that you brought up, and perhaps what led to that conclusion. I had a conversation recently with an old acquaintance that was talking about men marrying women outside of the race, so to speak, seeking women who are foreign born because they're more submissive or not as aggressive as African-American women, specifically African-American, not just women of African descent, because even women coming over from other countries in Africa, the perception is that they have been conditioned to be less confrontative. And this conversation that I was having with my friends is that men have grown up in households with mothers who cursed them out and made them feel bad, and they've had black wives who cursed them out and made them feel bad, and they've discovered that women from other cultures don't do this. And so my friend's theory is that black men are going to go outside the country in order to find suitable spouses because the experience that they've had with women born here has been so harsh and so hurtful, and they don't want to experience that again. So you mentioned people marrying people from other countries they don't know anything about, you know, and they say grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. But then the perception is also that someone who has your same color has your same consciousness. And what is the saying? Everybody with our color is not our kind. So it's a state of mind that you're marrying. You're marrying a soul inside a body. You're marrying somebody who you feel harmony with in spirit. And the people who look like you may not be the people that you are in harmony with, especially if they grew up in a different culture. Even though we can all be of African descent, born in America, having had a collective experience, but you had some families who may have been like Kareem's family, where the father was a strong leader and strong figure in the household that set a tone of respect and a spiritual base And then you have some families where the father is either missing or has some type of dependency, whether it be alcohol or drugs, that alters his personality and makes him someone that you fear and don't trust, because sometimes, you know, they go through that Jekyll and Hyde thing. You know, sometimes they're a nice guy, and then other times they may be abusive, both verbally and physically, may have terrorized the household, or been someone who, because of an addiction to alcohol or drugs, was unstable financially, couldn't keep employment or take care of business because whatever trauma they were living with disabled them. And so the result of that was a household that was dysfunctional. Many people had that experience, even though everybody might have been the same color. So it just depends on what's inside the person. And people are seeking someone who they feel complements them and where they are in their spiritual journey. And they may feel that someone of their color is just simply too traumatized to provide the kind of comfort that they're looking for. Men feel that way, and there are a lot of women that feel that way. Many women feel that the black male experience in this country has just been too emotionally damaging for men, and that the men are too brutal, too insensitive, not able to provide a stable family life because too many of them have not had fathers that modeled for them what Kareem's father modeled for him. And they don't want to repeat that same kind of dysfunction. And they feel that a man from another country can provide a better atmosphere. Again, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You know, what you discover is that other people have their own dysfunctions. But for many of us who may have had a challenging experience, we're believing that other people are better at forming relationships because what we may have experienced was so painful, both from our parents and then our spouses. So we're looking outside of this country for the solution. So that's what you're seeing. And none of those beliefs are wrong. People are simply choosing to not feel pain anymore. If you've grown up in a family where your parents made you feel pain, and then you grew up and got married and your spouse made you feel pain, you're trying to figure out, how can I not experience pain again? That's what that is. So what we're seeing in our children today, that life is a pendulum. It goes to one extreme, and then it swings back to the other extreme, and it has to keep swinging back and forth until we finally reach that balance in the middle. And our children are at an extreme, and there's a reason for it. We got to figure out, what is it that they are reacting to that they don't want to experience the pain that they experienced anymore? So we put forth the thought that perhaps in the households in which they were raised, there was extreme disrespect and an absence of that foundation of a spiritual base. And so they're mirroring the way they were treated. And it's not pleasant to see, but we have to look at, is that what is inside of us? So I'm going to throw this thought out there. And Kareem, you can tell me what your thought is, and we'll address it after the next break, probably. And of course, we want to have our listeners call in. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1. One of the things that happened in those very structured religious families where, you know, families stayed together because the family prayed together and you have the strong family, a strong father. Often that strong religious parent, whether it was the mother or the father, often they were very harsh disciplinarians. And they believed strongly in corporal punishment to quote, discipline the children. And many of us remember those ritual beatings, and we talked about that last week. And the trauma of that is something we didn't want to experience again. So what we did was the opposite. We didn't enforce that kind of behavior because we remember the pain of it. But also in not inflicting the harshness of the punishment, we also did not know how to lovingly correct. And we might not have hit our children, but we verbally abused them out of our frustration of not being able to make them behave because we didn't know another way to guide without the beating. We didn't want to do the beatings because we knew that was abusive, but we also didn't learn the techniques for shaping behavior. So in our attempt to control them, we did use verbal abuse, trying to either insult them into behaving correctly or shame them into behaving correctly. And it was painful what we did to them. And many of them kept that pain bottled up inside of them until they got older, too old for us to force them to not talk back. And then they began to express to the world and to us what was inside of them. And it comes out in the form of language that is so harsh and hurtful and vulgar that we're shocked. But we put it inside of us. And we did that because that's really what was inside of us that we couldn't express at parents who were so physically violent. Because that was the belief that that's how you enforce the spiritual belief that I'm going to beat the devil out of you. I'm going to beat the fear of God in you. And because we didn't have other techniques for shaping behavior, this is what we experienced.
You know, Naima?
This is what I see. Yes. What are your thoughts on that?
On a broad scope, the messages that were sent, not only to us, but to other citizens of this country, we use the term turbulent 60s. Turbulent 60s. That period was a time when injustices were addressed from every quarter,
Yes.
And there was a message sent and a thought process of anti-establishment. We're against the establishment, anti-authority. There was this phrase in the 60s, don't trust anyone over 30.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In addressing injustices, and there were many, I believe we went too far. We threw the baby out with the bathwater. That anti-establishment, and it's all right to question establishment, question authority, and write it, make it work for everyone, but don't do away with the idea of established norms and authority. That message even reached inside the home. Anti-authority, anti-establishment. If someone would correct a young mind according to the standards, they would be accused of being old-fashioned. That was back then. We don't do that anymore. That was old rep time stuff. Rep time. I don't know what rep time means, but it means something that is outdated. And the whole country went too far with that. Anti-establishment. Anti-authority. And in our quest for battling injustice, we went too far and dismantled authority instead of cleaning authority up. We went too far with anti-establishment. The establishment is what brought us this far. There was a structure. Correct the structure, but don't do away with a structured life. You know, we went too far with that. Children started questioning their parents and showing disrespect. At one time, there was no such word as, they are shacking. Speaking of a man and woman, that was frowned upon. We went so far as to do away with the institution of marriage. Got so anti-establishment, we even did away with the sacred bond of marriage. So that we are feeling the consequences of that error, of going too far in correcting establishment, in correcting us. In correcting authority, we need authority and an established way of living for our lives. We went too far. And now there is a total disrespect for authority, for establishment. What we witnessed, I'm quite sure everyone is aware of, the brawl or a fight that took place, and I think it was in Montgomery, Alabama.
Where
this excursion boat had come into dock and let the passengers off. There were a group of people that had their boat in that space at the dock. And an African-American was in authority that dock orderly. But he represented authority. We are going against authority. We may say, well, it was because he was African-American. Well, that may have played a part in it, but it goes beyond that. Beyond that, we have come into a mindset in this country, anti-authority and anti-establishment. We have to clean up, and people are correct. It is the system. The system was not formed correctly. Its base, its foundation was not adequate. We have to correct, put the correct measures in place, but don't do away with an established way of life. Don't do away with authority. Authority begins with the parent. The teacher. I mean, it spreads. It spreads all the way up to the federal government. We have to have authority. Let's clean it up, but don't destroy it. Don't blow it up. Don't blow it up, because now it is that thought, I can do whatever I want. I don't care what the law says. We are going in this 7-11, and we're going to take anything we want, anything that we want. I'm going to go home, and if my mother says something to me from the position of anti-authority, I'm going to disrespect even her. So we've gone too far in trying to make the correction in the society in which we live.
I agree.
We must. Yeah. So I'll stop right there. But that is what the whole country is going through. And let me say this. We cannot blame the people that are entering this country as immigrants, asylum seekers and stuff like that. No, we were off the rail long before that.
Let's not look for escape. You're right. Yes.
At one time,
they didn't make this.
If a man and woman, if they cohabited without the sacred bonds of marriage, the community tolerated them, but they did not condone that. They looked down on that. So now, it's so prolific now. People are even asking, well, why even get married? What? A benefit of that? Well, sit down. Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. So,
well, you know, there are reasons why that happened. Yes. There are reasons why that evolved.
Right. And I must say now, yes, women were under unjust authority, sometimes in the home, in the social environment, and in the workplace, and African Americans. We were under unjust authority. So there was a movement to correct the establishment, correct it, erect it, re-erect, not destroy. So what we're seeing now is a lack of authority, a lack of respect, and an outright protest against established norms. But I believe we have gone so far now that we are not the only ones having this conversation. This conversation is being held across this country. And
everybody's trying to figure out they're trying to figure out what happened. And we know that we have to fix it. But like you say, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we do have to throw out the bathwater. So we have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. We've got a caller on our line. I'm gonna go ahead with our conversation because we've had a lot of commercials just in the beginning trying to fix our technical correction here. So we're gonna keep going until the bottom of the hour there, and I'm going to open the mic for area code 706-202 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima and Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Brother Kareem keeps saying, the old saying that we say back in the day was anti-disestablishmentarianism. And what we're talking about is what has been established as in this Turtle Island has been established a rule of law that is not with the order of the natural law. And this is what we're seeing as human beings here on this Turtle Island. There's a dysfunction in the way in which things were established because there was an order here before the invaders came into and created this system of what they call, what you said earlier, was federal government. in that you come into someone's house and you change the rule of the law in their house. And this created what we see today is a hierarchy, in that there is a rule to say that we have power over nature. Only person has power over nature is the creator who created it. And what we are having is what the African proverb says, is that the destruction of a nation begins in the home. The destruction of a nation begins in the home. And when you come into someone's home and you reestablish removing the matriarchal guidance with the patriarchal guidance and saying that we, the people who are Anglo-Saxon, are the superior and all others are inferior, then you create something that is out of order. And in this whole time that this has been established, it is not in the order of what nature is, because the order is a universal order, there's a natural order, there's a cosmic order. And the thing is that we as humans here and across the planet is having happened, is that we're out of order. There is a guidance that was given once upon a time to say that there were things in which there was truth, justice, harmony, balance, order, propriety, and reciprocity. Those were seven laws created by a woman called Mayat. And those were tools and ways in which to do. And the thing that we've lost in the community and we see is that we don't have values, moral respect, and ethics. Value, how do you value a male-female relationship? How do you have a morally relationship with a woman and a man? How do you earn respect, and what is ethically correct? So what we're looking at is generational after generation of this system of things that did not work and does not work in a way that was divine order. We're looking at how do we have to do this? Is this an inside job for first the individual human to identify? How do they value themselves? How do you feel morally? Do you respect yourself? And are you ethically correct? First start within. And there's an old saying is that if there's no enemy within you, the enemy outside of you can't harm you. So we've got to look in the mirror and we've got to justify how we have a relationship with our creator and how we have a relationship with ourselves first. That's the first marriage of humanness. So the part for us is that, yes, we can look and we can say and we can point fingers, but the part of it is you got to begin with self. And then from self, you share and you guide that child, because a child is born knowing right and wrong. We have a tradition where we bring the child before the village or the community, and you take that child and you give it water, and it will suckle. You give it something bitter, it will cry. It already is born with knowing right and wrong. This is not right for me to be, for you to be putting this in my mouth. Or you give that child to a spirit that is not correct and loving, it will cry. So it already has the frequency to distinguish right and wrong. It is our charge as the village to make sure it doesn't forget. We're seeing the reflection of generations. Each generation out of relative obscurity must either fulfill its mission or we all fail. That is what Frantz Fanon said. And the thing that we're looking at, we're seeing this generation, and this is an excellent talk because we as elders are getting ready to become ancestors. And the thing that we have to do is stop this generational theft and look at how we on and guide the purpose of each child that has been born every 7 seconds since this program has started. There has been a child coming out of the womb. That's where we began. Even in the conception of putting that child in a womb, it needs to be corrected.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you said a number of things that I'd like to take a look at. First of all, the child being born knowing right from wrong and being able to feel when something is incorrect. Every species is born into a community. And when that community has as its way of life the good of the collective body, then that child can feel safe and cared for because the community understands that new life being born into it is an addition and an enhancement to the community. So that child's care is something that all of the adults participate in among those species where that consciousness exists. We can see that in everything from ants to elephants. But we, the people, what is our understanding of this good? We don't have it, and that's why our society is chaotic. We have this individualism, and this is what we allowed ourselves to believe was correct. And you pointed out people coming to this land came with a philosophy of selfishness and individualism and came into cultures where there was a collective cooperative body and imposed a way of thinking that was destructive. So not to blame Europeans, because an enemy can only defeat you if there's something inside of you that is disunified. And there were points of conflict even among the indigenous people. So all of us as a human family have to look at our philosophy of life. And first of all, did we have a family that operated as a unit, or did we have parents that pitted one child against another? And did we have the block where we lived, the community that we were raised? Were we going to school in the classroom where the teachers pitted one child against another and created a hierarchy where some were jealous of the others or some felt superior over others? Constantly raised in an environment where there was conflict created among people. And so rather than cooperate for the common good, we were taught to compete and taught to despise those who we saw as lesser than us, or taught to despise those who were put above us. What did we experience in terms of a teaching that said we're doing everything we're doing for the collective good? That's not a cultural value in this nation and in many other nations where there's conflict. So we can learn a lot from some of these other species that at least operate as a collective. And when we create something that's painful, a child knows that's not right. They know it's not right for them to be treated badly. They know it's not right for them to be excluded. They know it's not right for them to be neglected. You're right. They know, they're born with an inner guidance that says when something is wrong. But yet when a society condones the wrong and reinforces the wrong, then the child is going to rebel against the wrong. That's really what we're seeing. We're seeing generations rebelling against what was wrong. But in the rebelling against what was wrong, like Kareem was saying, they also rebelled against what was right. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. So there are things that we are doing today that are harmful, and our children are rebelling against that. And rightfully so, because it's wrong. It's wrong to create a society of haves and have-nots when the land is plentiful, and yet you force some people to be denied basic necessities. They're angry about that because that's wrong. But then also, the right thing that we perhaps failed to instill in them, principles of responsibility. You have a responsibility to the collective. You have a responsibility to develop yourself so that you are contributing something of value and something that can enhance life for all. That's the value that we didn't instill in them. So they don't want to work because they feel that work is enslaves you. They don't like the feeling of they don't like what they observed in their parents working a job for 40 years, barely making it, not being able to survive. And if the value is get rich so you can get respected, well, then their conclusion is, well, I don't want to work this menial job, and my parents don't have the respect of these wealthy people that everybody admires, so I'm going to get my wealth directly by whatever means is made available, whether it's legal or illegal, because the value that they were given is that you only get respected if you have wealth, instead of the value being you get respect because of what you contribute to the whole. So we have to look at the values we gave them, pain we caused them, and see what they're reacting to, the reason why they've come to the unfortunately wrong conclusion to just throw it all away and rebel against everything. That's on us. And a lot of the things that we experienced growing up, like Kareem was saying, the generation of rebellion, we're against authority, we're against order and structure. Okay, fine. Maybe something's a little too harsh. Some things were oppressive. So let's get rid of the oppression, but we still have to have an orderly society where everybody functions together so that there's a collective harmony and benefit. That's what we need to build. But we need to get rid of harsh authority where people are given the power to abuse people. That's the thing we were rebelling against. So we need that dirty bathwater, but we need to keep the baby, which is the cooperation based on organization and order and everyone's collective responsibility to contribute. That's what we need to maintain. The question is, how do we do that? We have to build what right now doesn't quite exist, but it can if we simply take the time to plan it and create it.
You know, Naima, what we, you know, I have said this, and I hope its value is recognized by way you mentioned whipping our children, discipline, threatening them with physical assault. Well, what do you think that child is going to value? That child is going to a value dispensing pain.
Dispensing absolutely.
Pain to get what they want. As parents, we should establish a personal one-on-one relationship with every member of our family. You know, if to set aside time for me and my grandson, let's take a walk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk and have a private conversation with them. That shows that you care.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They look to see how much do you care. And you took time out of your life. You spent your time, which is precious, with them and had a heart-to-heart talk with them because you love them and you want the best for them. Try to drive that point home. We need a personal relationship with each other. I have several brothers and sisters, but each one of them, I have a personal relationship with every individual, you know? Respect is garnered like that. And because you have took the time to establish that, that is saying that you respect and value them.
Absolutely.
Not just a collective punishment, or I threaten you with physical violence. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean no disrespect to my Christian brothers. You are my brother, and we're all mm-hmm. on the same battlefield. But we have to question what we have been given to guide our lives. And religion is very important. Our spirituality is very important. We bring a spirit with us. If the root of your spirituality, if the root of it is based upon violence, the killing and murdering of an honest, upright man, the murder of an upright man displayed, publicly displayed, if that is the root of your spirituality, then that violence takes root inside of the person. There was a crime. That was an alleged crime. But you only accept it if you adopt that crime. So we have to question what we have been given as a way of life. We need to question these symbols, signs, and symbols that have been given to the world. So I'll stop right there, but I believe that is most important. If we ignore the spiritual nature of that new life that Almighty God has passed through us into this reality, and they are met with, you must accept the murder of an innocent man, scourged and hung. And that is how, that is your salvation. We need to question that.
That's real deep.
Look at that. I'll stop right there.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to examine how our religions have perhaps created the mess we're in and why our children are rebelling against all of it, because they felt in their soul this is not right. And as mm-hmm. a result, the good that could have been used in the religion to guide them was also thrown away. So we got to take a look at this, because what you just said was real powerful, and we have to look at the painful truth so we can fix the problem. So we'll be right back after this last break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you've got a comment to make, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, and press 1 so that raises your hand on the switchboard, and we'll be right back after this last break. So we want you to stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
stop the music.
Form alliances. Be conscious. Believe. Make effort. Be persistent in making an effort, the right effort. Don't let up. Keep the drive, but also form alliances. To be successful, this conference, by its very presence and the makeup of this conference, the persons who are here, their personal experiences, knowledge, and resources. What we have in the conference itself invites us to make alliances. When we come together, I think if we just make it formality to assemble and have the general concerns addressed and then identify persons who are supporting more political awareness in the community and more involvement on the part of our community, business, invitation to Islam, Dawah, identify these separate groups and then have these separate groups meet to address the general concerns. And a community needs to hear from males and females, not just males. And the person who addressed the general, or the person or person addressed the general concern, and then someone who is knowledgeable of the makeup of this conference, the persons and the skills, someone should know all of us and what we have to offer. If we don't have this, we can grow into this. You know, maybe I'm speaking beyond what we have right now, but that doesn't mean we can't do this. We have to grow into it if we don't have it.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. This is Dr. Constance Shabazz for American Muslim 360, announcing a new program from our parent corporation, CWSC, called Eyes on Our Communities. While all are being challenged by the current public health environment and policy of spatial distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, some older Americans are being urged to stay at home who could unfortunately wind up being out of sight, out of mind. Social isolation itself can be a threat. So CWSC is asking believers nationwide via its National Volunteer Human Resource Network to be an extra set of eyes now for our seniors to help ensure they're okay. If you're a senior or a disabled person and need assistance, please call 910-317-0297, and one of our volunteers will be assigned to call you and help connect you with government agencies, nonprofits, civic or faith-based, and other institutions addressing elderly and disabled needs. We don't want a single person to fall through the cracks. So please call 910-317-0297. Help is just a phone call away. The public service announcement from the CWSC and AM 360.
In connection with that public service announcement, I'm not sure if everyone have heard, but the COVID infection rate is spreading. There's a 30% jump in the COVID infection rate. Many of us were under the illusion that it was over, that yes, it has been eradicated, but the COVID virus has not been eradicated. We noticed a decrease in the infection rate due to the protocols and disciplines that were put in place. And I believe we got very relaxed, thinking that it is no more. But COVID is yet with us. So there may be mandates coming forth to protect ourselves. So they should announce this on mainstream media. I know their concern is money, you know, is money, but our concern is life and having a good quality life. So we share this information with you on America Muslim 360. Praise be to Allah.
our children need to be reconnected to the source of life. They need to be reconnected to the source of God. And when we do that, we will see them transformed. But what we've given them is a belief system that keeps them from making that connection. Because the source of life is only love. It's love. It is the nurturing, the acceptance, the encouragement, not the pain and hostility with which we've raised them because of a belief that God gives pain and suffering. And unfortunately, our misinterpretation of what happened to the great spiritual teacher that walked among us keeps us from benefiting from his teaching. It's time for us to understand that what he was demonstrating is that no matter what someone thinks about you or says about you or even does to you, they cannot change the reality of who you are as a divine being. Divine meaning we are all created by the divine, expressions of the divine, and no one can make us lesser than who we are, no matter what they do to us. And when you have mastered your mind, then what you are able to express and how you're able to transform people with your example and your wisdom lives on even after your physical body is gone. So no one can kill you. You are an eternal being, whether you are inside a body or outside a body. So you have no need to fear those who threaten you with death. He was demonstrating that. We, in our misunderstanding and misguidance from those who had a political agenda, had been made to believe that God required someone to suffer in order for us to be forgiven for our mistakes. And in a way that we believe that justifies our mistreatment of our own children, making them suffer. And this is why they're rebelling. So, I mean, Brother Kareem hit it on the head, as painful as it may be for us to hear it. We misunderstood that incident in history. And we focus so much on the death of the man and his torture and suffering that we totally missed the teaching, which was about love and the collective work and responsibility so that all people are able to live in peace. We missed that teaching, and we are lauding the suffering, the pain, the torture, not understanding what he was demonstrating, that this cannot defeat you. So do not fear those who are corrupt in authority over you because they threaten you with pain and death. They cannot defeat you. That's what he was demonstrating. When we learn that lesson, then we can grasp and emulate his life and teachings and benefit from it. And we can stop beating our children, believing that we have to beat the evil out of them, believing that they're born bad, believing that we have to curse them because they're bad, believing that we have to humiliate them because this is how God treats people. When we stop believing that, we'll stop doing that. And then we'll stop seeing them respond with the anger that we've placed inside of them for being mistreated. That's real. And
you know, Naeem?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Our beloved Jesus, may we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. If we look at our scripture with a discerning eye, he was identified as the Word, a word from God. And that word, emblematic of the message that he brought.
Absolutely.
So the crucifixion is not of a physical body. It is to crucify and destroy his message of unconditional love. Of unconditional love. So, right. So we look at the physical and ignore the most important part, the message that God sent through him, that God sent through him. How did we get in this position? With a loving, righteous prophet that brought a word from God. And here we are treating each other like barbarians, savages. Jesus identified himself to his followers, and he used the example of a man that was not even following him, that was not a part of his community. He shared with the disciples, the story of the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
The Good Samaritan. Samar was a region, it was a country or a town or a nation, whatever. And because he was a member of that city, he was known as a Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what was conveyed, that there was a man on the side of the road, needing help, in a bad condition, and
yeah.
People walked past him. They turned their eyes away from him. But one man came along that was from Samar, and he recognized the suffering of that human being, and he stopped on the side of the road to help him. To help him, and took the man where he could get help, and implored upon those that he left the man with to help him. And on my return, visit, I will pay you. Now, I mean, what's the message in that? To care about another human being.
Absolutely.
I'm quite sure that message is hitting home now by me saying that. That is the word. That is the word.
So simple. Yes.
That being the case,
as you said, that was the message, that story has come down through the ages. So how do we make that manifest? Because when we create systems that are hurtful, systems
mm-hmm.
that punish people for not having money, humiliate people, make them suffer, make children suffer, when we create that and we cause pain, then people rebel against us. Because it's unloving. Anything that's unloving is ungodly. It's not from the Creator. It is not the spirit of the Creator. Any religious teaching that is unloving is not from the Creator. It's from the distorted minds of the human being that misunderstand and are disconnected from the Creator. Any religious teaching. It doesn't make any difference how long is the tradition. Or how long has been a belief, if it's hurtful and painful, it is not coming from the Creator. That is through people who are setting an example, the understanding of unconditional love. Unconditional, that means it doesn't matter whether you have a physical appearance that's pleasing to me. It doesn't matter if you are
of the intelligence that I think you should be or the skills that I think you should be before I can show you kindness and respect. Unconditional love. I love you because you exist. You are a creation of the Creator. I love you because you exist. We have to demonstrate that in all of our systems of every aspect of life, government, business, industry, everything. And when it's unloving, it's ungodly. And that's why the souls of our children rebel against it.
That is the Antichrist, Naima.
Absolutely.
The position we're in now.
Yes.
They are looking for some individual to show up and all of that. It is our
mindset.
Understanding.
It's our understanding that is to return. And we've got a comment from our sister Zelda from HLN TV show says, teach sister, yes, and brother's teaching, yes, and let those lights shine. Our youth know and share this as little ones. And if we sometimes beat or speak negatively, humans are slowly awakening. Amen. Yes. So we have to see the light in our children and help them shine. And we can't do that if we're abusive to them, if we're saying things to them that hurt them, and if we're treating them badly in whatever arena they're in, whether they're in the classroom and the teacher is humiliating them or talking to them in a way that makes them feel bad, shaming them. Everything that we're doing, we have to look and see, is this reflecting love? And if it isn't, then we need to change it. And when we demonstrate love, it will come back to us. Our children are demonstrating the way we have treated them. They're demonstrating it in their behavior. So, and you know, Karine, you mentioned earlier about marriage. Marriage is when you stand in the presence of God, the presence of your Creator, you and your mate, and you promise to each other that you're going to treat each other in a loving manner. No matter what difficulties you go through, you're going to go through this earth journey together and be loving partners of support to each other. That's what that promise is. That's what marriage is. So now young people who say, well, there's no need for marriage, are you disagreeing that you should make that promise to your Creator, that sacred bond? Are you disagreeing with that? Are you disagreeing with the business contract with the state because you've seen how the state exploits your separation by making you pay money and punishing you financially in a way that is unjust? Maybe that's the thing that they're rebelling against. So what we need to do is correct the way the state handles divorce so that our children don't get the message that I'd rather not get married because if we choose to separate, then we get exploited and abused, and often the men are the ones who feel like they may lose access to their children. They may be humiliated, put out of their home. And so this is creating the reluctance to establish that contract with the state, which is marriage. But the real marriage is not the contract with the state. The real marriage is in the heart and the relationship with the other party. The state is merely the one who ensures that the laws of inheritance are properly carried out when one of you departs. That's what it should be. So if it was a loving system based on unconditional love, then people would not have to fear it's going to be abused or abusive to them. So we need to fix that. But we do need to make that promise to each other. When we're bringing forth children together, we have a responsibility to those children to have a commitment to each other so that we can raise them in a home that is safe and secure. That's what the marriage bond is. And when we don't do that, then we are hurting the community because we're not fulfilling our responsibility to raise a loving child. And when that happens, what we see is what we get. So we have to fix
it. So true. You know, God has said to us in the Quran that it is He, the Creator. When you meet someone of like nature, someone that is compatible with you and your soul, God, He said He will place love, mercy, and sakina. Sakina means tranquility, peace between you two. That is how we procreate. That is how we move life forward.
Absolutely.
So I'll stop by this. And I hope that I'm quite sure we are giving solutions. Naima named this broadcast correctly, the female solution. And what we are offering is solutions. Praise be to God.
Yes, praise be to God. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being a wonderful co-host and sharing your wisdom. We hope that the hearts of those who listened were touched. Look out for our upcoming parenting class, Parenting with Peace, launching soon. And we hope that this can begin a new trend in guidance and parenting for those who are going to be bringing forth life. We start all the way from before conception and go all the way to that child is 18 years of age and prepared to leave your home. What are the steps? 12 lessons in that series, and we're looking forward to sharing it with you on the Teachable platform and our New Earth Home.
I've been
school.
Informed. I have about 90 seconds, Naima.
And so we got to go. And
yes,
we want to thank all of you for listening. Join us again tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Until that time, continue to shine your light. See you tomorrow.
Praise be to Allah. We began this broadcast with Almighty God's name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. We ask you to purify your intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain regardful for Almighty God Allah, and display gratitude and thankfulness for what Allah has done for us, for what God is doing for us, and what He shall do for us. We have to be thankful. God asked the whole of creation, the whole of humanity. He asked in the Surah of Rahman, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَّا إِرَبِكُمَّا تُكَذِبَانِ.
Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books.
Which of the two mercies of your Lord will you deny? Let us be thankful. I leave you now all. And I ask you, if you will, tune in for the broadcast Halal Industries, Do for Self. It airs at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Halal Industries. Halal means that which is good and lawful. And it is hosted by Imam Wali Ayub Bilal and James Bashir. We look forward to your presence on the wonderful broadcast, Halal Industries, Do for Self. I leave you now with the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be all right,
gotta be all right,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Say they gotta be thankful. They gotta be thankful for their lives and all the things he gives us and let me inside their lives. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.